So my dad and I have been talking about doing an I Choose Live for a long, long time now. And between both of our schedules and, you know, just life, it's been a little challenging to get this set up. But I'm so excited that, Dad, you are my first guest now that the I Choose series is back in business.
It's an honor, Michael. It's an honor.
Yeah, no, it is. So for some of the people who don't know who you are, don't know what you're about, I think it'd be great if you wouldn't mind just share a little bit about who you are and
who I am,
besides being, you know, my awesome dad.
Who am I? I've been asking myself the same question for a long time, you know, also searching for meaning of life for a very long time. But what am I doing? Well, I'm in Brooklyn and I'm running the St. Francis Home. It's a home that was started back 50 years ago, 1967. My very good friend and spiritual director, Father Benedict Rochelle, started the home for young men who needed a second chance in life. At least that's what he told me, Mike. And then later on, I found out that they needed a third and fourth and fifth chance in life, but we were able to offer that. And it's for young guys who, you know, they come here who may have had drug problems. They may have had some alcohol problems, just family problems. Some guys just economic problems, you know. But as you know, because you spent some time here yourself, you know.
I did. 11 years.
11 years. Really? You were here for 11 years?
11 years.
See, time goes by great fast when you're having a good time, I guess. Huh?
I guess so, yeah.
We've had our ups and we've had our downs, you know. And with everybody that's been in the house, I probably raised about 150 young men over the last 30 years. I had a 30-year career here at the St. Francis House and also wound up getting into the film company, Grassroots Films. I was the executive producer for many years and still involved, actually. Still quite, you know, busy.
Yeah.
For
those who don't know, you know, my dad and I have, you know, worked together. We've created some great, great stuff. And I have to tell you, from my perspective, living in the house, you know, not coming from some of the backgrounds that some of the guys who, you know, resided at the house actually came from, that was one of the most meaningful parts of my whole entire development as an adult. You know, I learned more at that house that I now pass on to my children than I think anywhere in my life.
But I have to tell you, even on a personal level and for people who are watching, it was a little scary for me to have you here.
Yeah, I know. You know? I remember you saying that.
Yeah. It was just it was difficult, but it worked out. You know, it worked out. Thank God. I'm glad to hear you say that, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole structure of the house, I think, for those who don't know, the St. Francis House is in Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, like my dad said, he's been running it for, I don't know, how long have you been running it for?
That's 30 years this November.
Yeah, 30 years. And, but I mean, I think what's really unique about it is that, you know, it is not a government funded facility. You know, it's run like a family. And for me, that's the key. It's run like a family.
Yeah, and I've got to tell you, Mike, a lot of people have asked me, how come you've done so well over the years and so forth? And that's the exact reason, because it is a family. It's not a shelter.
Yeah.
It's not where people could just come in and, you know, and then and live for like a month and then leave. This is not it. I mean, we've had people here live in this house for half their lives.
Yeah.
And through that was all formation.
Yeah.
Of what a family is really like.
Yeah.
Because most of the guys that came through here had no family. Or if they had a family, they'd be better off without one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, look, the entire I Choose series, the whole foundation of this, you know, for me at a personal level, a lot of this stems from this idea of just being able to make a choice and change your life. And part of that I learned while being at the St. Francis House, you know, that things, if we're not happy with the way things are, we have the ability to change those things.
We always have the ability. The thing is, do you have the desire? Do you have the strength?
Yeah.
You know, do you really want to change? I mean, listen, you know, when someone wants to move into the house, Mike, they wind up with three interviews.
Yeah.
Because I need to be convinced that, first of all, that they really want to change. And then I also need to be convinced that I can help them.
Yeah.
Because not everybody, you can't help everybody.
Right. And we've seen people come in the house and go back to their old ways.
Seen that a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, well, you know, we have a very good success rate.
Yep.
But that, you know, not everybody wants to, not everybody has the ability to get on their feet.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody that's like third or fourth generation, a welfare recipient. Mm-hmm. So it was they're on welfare. The parents are on welfare. The grandparents are on welfare, and the great grandparents are on welfare. So there's no idea of a working environment.
Yeah.
You know. So hopefully, when you come here and you see how things work, that hard work pays off.
Right. Right. But even more so than that, I mean, you know, we're talking about people who've come in to the house, you know, completely broken, whether it was abuse or drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. You know, for people out there who have been kind of following the I Choose series, we've had a lot of people who shared the facts that, you know, they were struggling with addiction. And you being, you know, somebody who's been a counselor, you know, for I don't know how many years now, but what can you say about people who are struggling with addiction or anything, you know, whatever it is? We're all struggling with something. Everybody's got some kind of stuff that they're going through, you know, and how do people get out of, you know, that negativity? How do they get out of that mud?
You know, nobody's exempt in this life from suffering. Mm. The world teaches you not to suffer, that it's, you know, do everything you possibly can to stay young. How about that one?
Yeah.
This is a tough one. Stay young. So as you get older, you get miserable, you know, because you're listening to, you know, you're supposed to be young when the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people who are my age a lot of people never made it to my age.
Yeah.
I'm you know, listen, one thing I've always taught at the St. Francis House, Mike, and you know this, is that it's okay to get old. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because if you're not getting old, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, so encouragement is very important to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
To be with someone when they're struggling, when they're going through some, you know, difficult times. Who doesn't go through difficult times? Everybody's going through difficult times. Every family is going through something right now. Our own family is going through something. You know?
Yeah.
And so you know, when you are with someone for the bad times, and they know that they can rely on you. And that takes a long time, because then we can get into the whole thing of trust,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, a lot of guys will come into the house. They're totally confused.
Yeah.
About manhood, about what it is to be a man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing I'd like to say is that, you know, we said earlier that, you know, some guys come in for economic problems, drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be. Here's something that when the guys come into the house, that across the board, 100%, they all share in the same problem. No dad.
Right.
We live in a fatherless society.
Right.
So a kid's growing up without a dad.
Yeah.
He's looking for that person in his life to honor, to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if the dad's not going to teach him, the world is.
Right.
And we know what the world is teaching now.
Right.
It's negative.
Yeah.
It's totally negative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and then they wind up passing this down to their own children. So what I try to do here is I try to break the cycle of poverty, and poverty is not necessarily money.
Yeah.
You know, it could be anything. It could be their spiritual life. You know, it just, there's many different types of poverty. And so I'd like to address those issues with each person that comes through, but each person, 100% across the board, has no father. You know, I mean, sometimes all a guy needs is to say, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that little bit of encouragement, I think is just monumental.
Could you imagine growing up? I mean, you had me, but could you imagine growing up with no encouragement?
No. I mean, it's a very tough place to be. I can't imagine that. No.
How about this? How do you treat women?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had no model to show you how to do that.
Right.
I mean, what'd you do? Watch rap videos, watch television?
Yeah.
Where everything is drugs, sex, rock and roll. Everything's a joke.
You know?
Everything's a joke, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, the guys here, Mike, you see we got a fireplace in the back?
Mm-hmm.
They split wood. I hand them an axe. Everybody gets an axe for Christmas. Everybody splits wood. We burn wood. They love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Because it gives them a chance to flex their muscles and their masculinity. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We got encouragement and discipline in the notes here, you know? And I think that's key, because those two kind of go hand in hand. You know, discipline is something that's like, in a way, it's like looked down upon right now. And the reality is that without the discipline, it's very, very challenging to grow.
Well, yeah. I mean, without discipline, you have chaos.
Yeah.
So you got a young guy that's growing up with chaos, right. Chaos in his family. Right. You know? And so the discipline is very, very important. You know, one time, Mike, I was at a fundraiser. You may have even been there. I don't know. Because we raised funds for the house, right? Mm-hmm. I'm at a fundraiser, and I was with a couple of people. And our guys went into the house. They were just dressed normally, you know, like they dress every day. There was a whole bunch of other people there trying to raise money for their organizations. And all their boys were just kind of sitting there with their hands folded at the table. You know, they were being like phony.
Right.
You know, they were trying to be good. Yeah. It was just like overacting, you know?
Yeah.
And so our guys are walking around, talking to people. They're in and out of the kitchen. And, you know, one of the ladies said to me, she goes, you know, your boys seem very happy. What's the secret? I said, what's the secret? And I'm thinking about it for a second. I said, oh, well, they're guys. Every once in a while, I give them a good smack in the back of the head, you know?
Yeah.
It's an Italian love tap. And she says, you hit them? You beat them? I said, no, I don't hurt anybody. I take them in.
Yeah.
I said, I never hurt anybody, but they're guys. Every once in a while, good smack in the back of the head lets them know who's boss, because they're not in my house, you know?
Yeah.
Mike, she didn't get the concept at all. She said, you know, you can be arrested for that. I said, I can throw them out too. You know? I said, you have to understand something. I said, you know, that we have rules in the house. And if a guy drops the F-bomb in the house, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Not in this house. Not in the same. So you get a little smack. Listen, you remember Matthew? Matthew used to walk right up to me and just put his head down and smack him.
Yeah. Well, if I Matt's walk watching right now. For everyone else.
Oh, Matthew. Watch. You Matt, remember yeah. those days.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, remember I went up to you and I just smacked you one time in the back of the head? It wasn't hard. I just gave you a little tap. And you go, what's that for? I said, that's for what you were thinking. And you walked away with your head down. It was a joke. You know, it was a joke, but we got it. How you doing, Matt? I can't see who's on and who's not on. I'm glad he's on.
Yeah.
No, congratulations. I mean, congratulations to Matt. He's got a new son.
That's right. That's right. Matt has baby. Matt was actually one of our guests. And, you know, he was he's just an incredible, incredible guy. I love you, Matt.
Matthew, you gave me a really hard time, but you turned out to be one of the best, you know?
Yeah, sure did, man. Sure did. Well, you know, when we're talking about things here with the I Choose series, you know, it's all about, you know, making these positive choices and that kind of stuff. But, you know, for somebody like you and, you know, I mean, I lived in the house too, but, you know, you had a different relationship with the guys. For me, it was a peer-to-peer kind of relationship, you know?
Sure, of course.
But for you, you know, what is it that you see that's just, you know, it's difficult for people who are struggling to kind of get out of whatever it is that they're struggling with, you know? What are some of the, you know, signs or what are some of the steps, you know, to get out of these, you know, difficult situations where we feel like, you know, the world is just closing in on us?
Sure. And, you know, I think you nailed it, Mike. The world is closing in on us.
Mm.
You know, so what do you do?
Right.
Yeah. You don't do it alone,
right?
First of all. And most of the guys that come through here, or any guys, you know, loneliness is a big poverty.
Yeah.
Mother Teresa said it's the biggest poverty of mm-hmm. just being lonely, you know?
Yep.
And so, how do you get out of it? First of all, you have to want to get out of it.
Right.
Or if you don't even know that you're in it, you need someone to help you get out of it. No one does it alone.
Yeah. Yeah, That's the game right now, right? It's like everyone is it's all about like, I got to do this on my own. I'm going to make it on my own. It's all this, you know, on my own, on my own, on my own. But what you're saying is.
Yeah, let me interrupt for a second, because what we're talking about here is we're living in a narcissistic society.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of like, well, you know, as long as I have to love myself first so I can love somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest bullshit I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Everything is about me.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You learn about yourself through other people.
Right.
You know, you want to love yourself? I think you should love yourself. Don't get me wrong. You know, I think you should in some way. But when it becomes obsessive and compulsive, it's all about me.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I do this, this will happen. As long as I'm happy. No. It's about making somebody else happy. It's about making sacrifices for other people who you love, no matter what that may be.
Right.
People don't understand that love really is a sacrifice. How many people are married and, you know, going through, you know, some kind of problems?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to sacrifice for that, for your spouse.
Yeah.
You have to sacrifice for your children. The word sacrifice doesn't even exist anymore. It's right. all about me.
Right.
Me, I.
Right. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I mean, you know, the other side of that, though, is for people who are maybe too empathetic and only care about other people, and therefore they wind up, you know, being punching bags or
okay, you're right.
I don't want people to misunderstand what you're saying.
Let's talk about balance.
Right. There you go.
Okay. Okay. So everything needs to be balanced. Mm-hmm. You're right. It could go too far to the left. It could go too far to the right. We've all done that.
Yeah.
And you know, anytime we've ever done that, it's never worked.
Right.
So you know, we have to find the balance within the two. And there is a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You might not find it alone. You might find it through another person. You might find it in a situation.
Right.
You know, listen, when people suffer, you find out who they really are.
Yeah.
When things are going well, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
La, la, la. Isn't that great, you know? But when people start to suffer, we get to see what's inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If you're not feeling another person's pain, you know, you're half a human being.
Right.
You're not even full.
Right.
You want to fill yourself up? Help someone.
Mm-hmm.
Works.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, you know, we've spent a lot of time, you know, together doing a lot of good things, you know, and I can say from experience that, you know, it is through other people that you learn about yourself, without a doubt.
And even if you help somebody and they stab you in the back, you help them anyway.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
No, because you don't let that negative situation change you.
Right.
Listen, I've helped some guys in this house. Literally, I can honestly say, and they would too if they were honest, saved their lives.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't give me the right time of day.
Yeah.
Today.
I know.
Well, you want to know? But Michael, but here's the thing. It's not going to change me.
Right.
I did the right thing.
Yeah.
I would do it again.
Yeah.
It's not going to change me.
Yep. You know?
So that's when I look into myself, who am I?
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's that question of, you know, like you said, when we first started, who am I, right? This quest,
yeah,
understanding,
yeah,
this journey of life, you know, the choices that we make along the way and how people support us and influence our decision-making. But what you're saying is that having that understanding and that healthy balance between, you know, taking care of other people, but also understanding the boundaries, right? Because boundaries are also really important as well.
Yeah, you have to set them.
You have to set the boundaries.
They're not necessarily there.
Yeah.
You have to set them.
Yeah.
And you have to know the difference between good and evil.
Right.
And it's a crazy world where evil is good and good is bad, you know? It's like, you know, our poor children, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, you have to be able to set boundaries. But again, all that we're talking about, it's never done alone.
Yeah.
It's never done inside of just your mind, because you become the judge and the jury of the whole situation of what this negative thing, whatever this negative thing is affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be the judge and the jury of the whole thing. Now, listen, I'm not saying to you that some of the guys that I helped didn't hurt me or affect me.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100% across the board.
Right.
You know what keeps me going? It's not going to change me.
Yeah.
There's so many other people out there that are going to come through the St. Francis House. In my prayer life, and I have a prayer life, and I teach the guys to have a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always pray for the guys, past, present, and future. That includes everyone.
Yeah.
And that's for some of the people who have not really reciprocated. They're doing very, very well. Listen, when somebody forgets where they came from, be careful.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second, you know, the prayer life, because I feel like, you know, I mean, this is definitely something that the older I'm getting, the more people that I get to, you know, have an experience with, right, meet, develop relationships with, I would say there's more people than not that have a clear understanding of their faith and that they're not alone, you know? And so I just want to talk for a second about the importance of that, because, you know, we had guys that came to the house that were of different denominations or different faiths, you know? And I think that was one of the most important things was that, you know, you didn't push anything on anybody. It was all about, you know, finding right God for them, I guess. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, it's safe to say. I mean, you know, what I do myself on a personal level is I read the gospel in the morning and I apply it to my day. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. The gospel was inspired by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. the four gospels. So I believe it. You know, I believe it. So I follow that through, and that affects when I'm speaking to people and I try to remember it. I mean, listen, a lot of, if there's Catholics on here, and I'm sure there's plenty of them, you go to Mass, they come out, you ask them what the gospel was, and they go, what? I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, but what I try to do, and hopefully this helps a lot of people, is that I read the gospel and I apply it to that day. Mm-hmm. To that day.
Yeah.
And so if I'm dealing with whatever the situation I'm dealing with, and you know, Michael, I deal with negative situations most of the time. People don't call me to ask me how I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, they call me because they need something.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Sue and Paul Walters. I know that they said they were going to be on tonight, you know, and stuff like that. And Jose's probably listening and was he'll call me. But for the most part, you know, we're in a thankless business. You know, and so is God.
Yeah.
He's in a thankless business, but he keeps showing up every day and works. And without a prayer life, you know, I mean, listen, I've had atheists come through the house, you know, and I have the utmost respect for them. Actually, you know, Michael, I never met an atheist I didn't like.
Yeah.
Really great people.
Mm-hmm.
Tree huggers. They love trees. They love nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They worship the creation instead of the creator. They don't have it as far as I'm concerned, you know, mm-hmm. but if I mean, I said one time to a person who was an atheist, if I didn't believe in God the way that I do, I would have no reason to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
Cause I believe in the beyond. Listen, I had an exterminator here the other day and he asked me when he saw the St. Francis house, do you believe in life after death? I said 100%.
Otherwise, what am I doing this for?
what am I here for? You know, this is a short stop, you know? We get 80, 90. If you're lucky, you get 90, 95 years.
Wait,
you know?
So you mean to tell me that this is it?
Yeah, but if this is it, we are.
Oh, okay.
We ain't doing too good if this is it, you know? I have something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah.
My parents, your grandparents, aunts, uncles, all the way down the road. I truly believe it 100%. Right. And if you read the Gospels and you let it penetrate, you know, you might too.
Yeah.
I know that even if I'm wrong, I lived a better life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this whole entire, you know, the whole reason for this whole thing, this community that we built up, this following, people who are following the I Choose series, you know, I think that in our hearts, we understand that change is necessary and we want to make the change. And I would love for you to talk to the fact of the long term of that, right? Like, things don't just change overnight, right? We talk about patience. We talk about the understanding that, like, you know, that small steps equal like the long haul of the journey. But I think that, you know, we live in a world now where everything's very immediate. People want it now. They want things to happen now. And especially when we're talking about human beings, making changes, you know, instantly just doesn't happen, you know? So I would love for you to talk about like the patience and the long haul of people who have the desire in their heart. They want to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, faith is hope. And if you have hope, you can change. Mm. And if you're hopeless, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's long-term. Listen, patience is a virtue. It's right. One of the virtues. And in order to receive, you know, I know, I had somebody one time tell me they were praying for patience. I said, be careful. God's going to put some pain in the ass in your life.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Right. You know?
But if you're able to be patient, things work out. Because there is hope. And we're in it for the long haul. You know, one of the things, Mike, as you know, is that we never give up.
Yeah.
It's very important
right.
never to give up. Follow your heart's desire. use right. common sense, you know, but just take one step. You see, what happens in a lot of cases is without patience is you take two or three or four or five steps. I mean, you watch a baby when a baby is about to start walking. They only need to take one step to know that they can take the next step.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not much different when we're adolescents. We're not much different when we're middle age. We're not much different, you know, when we're at my age, when you're a grandpa already. It's mm-hmm. just that one step. Take mm-hmm. the first good step if you want to change something. Mm-hmm. Don't try to change the whole thing in one day. It'll collapse.
Right.
You won't understand it.
Yeah.
Too much information is no good.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, even the world that we live in right now, we have too much information. I have a little book I keep in my desk. It's a book of useless information. It's absolutely hysterical. You know, it's like, how about this? We watch the news and we watch the same story and we listen to the same story 10 times.
Yeah.
Mike, it can't be good for you.
Yeah.
Actually, as far as I'm concerned, from where I'm coming from, the repetition of that is called brainwashing. Yeah. Just look it up.
Yeah.
You know? And so usually if I hear the story once, I change the channel. And I've even had people say, aren't you going to watch it? I go, I heard it already.
Yeah.
It's like you're so conditioned to listen to the same thing over and over and over. If you listen to the same thing over and over and over again, you'll get to believe it even if it's a lie. I'll give you an example. I've had guys come through the house and they were told they were stupid their whole entire lives until I wind up with an 18-year-old who thinks he's stupid and he's not.
Yeah.
But he believes the lie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just too much information.
Yeah.
But patience is the key. Trust is the key. And faith, I think, is the key. You know, there was a village where a whole bunch of people were praying for rain.
Mm-hmm.
Only one kid showed up with an umbrella. That's wow. faith. There's yeah. only one kid in the whole village who had faith.
Yeah.
You know? So how could God work in that?
Right.
If everybody brought on umbrellas, I think it would rain.
Yeah.
That's how much faith I have. Yeah. Maybe I'm crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not informed, you know, informed. I don't care. But I believe.
Yeah.
I truly, truly believe. And the way I see things going on right now in the world, it's a scary place you guys live in.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's the whole reason for this piece, right? Is to be able to, and you know, look, you've been kind of supporting the whole I Choose movement from the beginning. You know, when I shared with you, this is kind of the direction I wanted to go in, and doing these lives and stuff. And you've been on for every live show, you know, and you've heard
Mike,
tons of
this
people.
This is a great project. I've seen people on this show lose 200 pounds.
Yeah.
On the weight loss ones.
Yeah.
I've seen you speak to people who are like full blown drug addicts who are married and have two children.
Yeah.
This is good work. That's why I always encourage you. This is good work.
Yeah.
This is great work.
Yeah. Well, look, we're moving in a direction, and it's about let me see, it's 8:30 now, so we're just about halfway through here. So I just want to throw in something real quick because this is really important. The I Choose series is now the I Choose Foundation. Like, that's what we've got it set up as now, and you know this. And man, it's really, really exciting. And something else that I want to share is that now that the foundation is actually set up, that, you know, we kind of need to spread the word a little bit. And we've had a number of local and national businesses actually partner with us in some efforts. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be holding a series of sweepstakes drawings. So we're going to be awarding some prizes like event tickets, gift cards, sports items. So anyone who's interested in any of that can visit our website and sign up using our contact form. The website, you can go to the ichoosefoundation.org/contact. And I'm going to put that in the notes. But I just got to mention it now because for people who share this, we're going to enter them into the drawing. For people who give us their email address, we are going to, and I got a bunch of stuff today in the mail where we've got,
hey, Mike,
literally.
It's good timing. It's good literally. Timing right before Christmas. Right before
yeah.
Christmas.
We literally have tickets for, like, you know, games and stuff. And I'm so grateful.
Listen,
to
I got a question for you. Am I allowed to enter? Is because we got the same last name. I'm like, out.
No, you're not allowed to enter at all. but I
had a feeling.
For anyone who's watching this, if you are interested, you can visit ichoosefoundation.org/contact. throw in your email, and we're going to do a random selection, and then we're going to pull out a name and announce a winner and give away some prizes. So for people who are watching,
very nice.
That's where you want to go. So getting back into the decision, when does somebody reach their limit? And, you know, we talked about you just have to keep going. We talked about, you know, the patience. And I think the huge element here is that hope, that faith that you talk about, because without that, there's no reason to make any changes.
You know, Mike, I was I had about 12 guys in a drug rehab at one point. Mm-hmm. And I got called in to the management. And the management had said to me, listen, we have a problem with you. I said, what's the problem? You know, I thought I was helping people.
Yeah.
They said, well, you can't mention God. Mm. I said, why not? They said, because, you know, we're a government facility and we're not allowed to mention God, and we don't want you to do it. I said, I don't work for you. I'm not on your payroll. Mm. You don't pay me. You know, I'm a volunteer here. I bring people in.
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm going to mention God.
Right.
Because what you're saying to me is that the divine healer is not allowed to heal. You're pushing God out. They did that to schools.
Yeah.
You've seen what happened. You know, you're not allowed to mention God. I said, listen, you got the wrong guy. I said, listen, I'll tell you what I could do. I could take the 12 guys that I have in here right now. It's like my own caseload, you know, that mm-hmm. you get about $30,000 to $40,000 per head every year from the government, and I can leave. Hmm. Or I can do what I'm doing. Of course, they left me alone because now I was talking about money.
Yeah,
I understand their position, okay, but I'm not on their payroll. And yeah. I needed to talk about God. I needed to have that hope.
Yeah. Rafael Sanchez is absolute true story.
Oh, he was there. It was about him. He was one of the guys.
Yeah.
And he's a fine man now. Hmm. Married with children, you know. And a lot of guys, I mean, even Rafael was one of the guys who fought me on religion. Hmm. And I said, no, before your mother passed away, we made a promise. She wanted her kids to be brought up Catholic. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, where he takes it now is up to him. He's a man.
Yeah.
You know, but while people were in the house, I had to do what was right.
Right.
And the government wasn't giving us any money, Mike, as you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fully aware of that.
You know, we survived strictly on donations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've been doing it for 50 years. Right. So if I took money from the government, and I can, just so you know, I have to take on their rules and regulations, which means I have to push God out the door.
Right.
Well, Father Benedict taught me, who started this house, God has lots of money.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You heard that, you know, from Mother Teresa. And so, you know, we just keep moving.
Yeah. Barbara Gilbert Shields says, wow, I so remember that story also.
Oh, Barbara, she was one of the best, if not the best. If not the best. Barbara and I are still friends. She was a counselor.
Wow.
She was a counselor over there. I knew Barbara was a great person when she told me for Thanksgiving she wasn't going to be home. I said, where are you going to be? She was at a homeless shelter feeding the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, this is the person I want to be friends with. Right. Because I could learn from her.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe she didn't mention God, but she certainly did godly things and still does.
Yeah. Barbara says, oh, my God, I love you both.
Love you too, Barbara. I got to see her one of these. I haven't seen her in like 15, 20 years. Oh, no, actually, we saw Barbara. She came to it. She came to a screening.
She did, yeah.
With her aunt. That's right. Sorry about that, Barbara.
Yep. Well, you know, I got to say, Dad, I've learned a lot just being you know, part of the house. And, you know, you and I mean, we talk. I'm grateful and I'm blessed to say that I have, you know, a father in my life that I talk to every morning. You know, we talk about some big things. We talk about life. We talk about real issues. We talk about things that are going on in my life, things that are going on in your life. You know, and there's a lot of people out there who don't have that. You know, they don't have somebody to talk to. They don't have somebody to share with, you know, and, you know, this whole movement, you know, the I Choose series is about making those changes, you know, and I don't know, man. I mean, I just feel like, you know, Dad, you've got a lot of wisdom, and you just bring so much to the table when we have our conversations, and you brought so much to this conversation already. But I mean, I wish there was just a way to share, like, you know, people who are really struggling, who have that deep desire to change, you know, what is that first step?
The first step is trust. Hmm. You know, you need to go to someone who you really trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a difficult thing because most of the people that you speak to have trust issues.
Yeah, hurt. People are hurt. People have been so wronged in their life by some of the people that love them or are supposed to love them the most.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. So to get through that, it's extremely difficult. But that's the first step.
Yeah.
You find somebody that you trust.
But if they have the desire, it can happen, right?
There's no question about it. You have to have the hope that it will happen, and God will lead you to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be the first person or the second person. Mm-hmm. But again, we go back to what we said originally before, Mike. You don't give up.
Yeah. And we don't allow other people to change who we are.
No question about it, Mike. Listen, I learned everything that I know about what we're talking about tonight from the residents at the St. Francis House.
Yeah.
You know, I read all the books. I read all the psychology books. They're great.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But you know, you take that with a grain of salt when you're sitting in front of a young guy who's suffering.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, his name's not on that page.
Right.
You know, and so what do? You love them with the love that God gave you to love them. And mm-hmm. so we haven't spoken about that, but you know, we're in a loveless society. We're about loving yourself again, you know, like we're back to that. Always seem to go back to that. Is this narcissistic, self-centered way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lonely place to be. I've told many people through the house who have come here through the years is that you're a very lonely person.
Yeah.
You only care about yourself. You're self-centered. You're narcissistic. You're lonely.
Mm.
You're looking for the answers like you have them.
Yeah.
No, you have to look to others, to go back to what you were asking.
Right.
We have to look to others. The more we go in, the less we receive.
Yeah. I think it's also just being, you know, being comfortable with that vulnerable part of yourself that you don't have it all together, that you don't have all the answers. You know, being willing to trust, even if you've been lied to and broken. You know, people talk about suffering and why is there suffering in the world, but you know, I think that people need to understand that suffering exists. This is my opinion. Correct me if I'm wrong. Suffering exists for the sole purpose of acquiring wisdom.
Well, I don't know if it's for the sole purpose, Michael, but I will say that they go hand in hand.
I think that without the suffering, you can't gain the wisdom.
Okay, but some people suffer and can't get out of it.
Mm.
So if you can get out of it, if you do have another person who will love you, because that's what it's really all about. Ultimately, we can put this whole conversation under the umbrella of love and then start, you know, cutting it up like a pizza.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, but love has to come first, you know? And right. what's missing, even the people that you've had on here before on all the I Choose things, you could see that they were not loved.
Yeah.
They found comfort in food. They found comfort in drugs. They found comfort in their sexuality.
Yeah.
No one was happy though.
Right.
They were miserable.
Right.
They made the choice. They made the choice to change. It was the hardest choice of their life. It was the best choice of their life. Did they get wisdom from it? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. And they're passing that on to other people. Just
right.
like whatever wisdom I got here from the house, I want to pass that on to other people. If I just became narcissistic and said how intelligent I was, you know, this would be useless.
Yeah. Caitlin says, narcissism is the root of so much evil, the breakdown of relationships and suffering.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. You've got to give. You know, everybody remembers this, you know, it's better to give than receive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people forgot about that.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah. How timely as we're coming into Thanksgiving, you know, that's the next holiday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, giving is what it's all about.
Right.
You know, Mike, remember when we were in Africa together and we went to people who were extremely poor,
yeah.
extremely poor. We did it in Peru. We did it in Africa. We did it in third world countries. The first thing people offered us when we went into their huts, not exaggerating, huts, was something to eat that they didn't have.
Yeah.
They gave us whatever they had. These were happy people. You know, remember I had said this to you. I didn't meet anybody here that was depressed.
Yeah.
They were sad. They had, you know, terrible conditions they were living in. They had each other. They had family.
Yeah.
They loved one another.
I just want to say for everyone who's watching, if you're getting something out of this, I hope that you share this with your family, your friends, all you people on Facebook. We've only got, maybe about 15 minutes left, but we definitely appreciate the share of the love, because what we're talking about here, I think, is monumental for people to hear. So if you like what's going on, hit that little share button, leave a comment. Those like buttons also help with the algorithm for Facebook too. So, you know, I think that what you're saying is that, you know, yes, I remember that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, people think that they don't have anything to give. People who are struggling, who don't have a lot, they think that they just don't, they can't give, right? Because they don't have anything. But I think the example that you just threw out of us, you know, visiting people who live in, you know, other countries on other continents, and they didn't have anything. These were people who really didn't have anything. And yet, you know, they offered us the little bit that they did have. And I don't know what the consequences were for them making that offer. Right.
And if you didn't take it, they were upset.
Yeah.
So somebody's giving you their last apple.
Yeah.
They really sincerely want to have it. They want you to have it. I'm sorry. They want you to have it. They really want to give. What a lesson to learn.
Oh, absolutely. Wholeheartedly.
These are real people. And every one of them believed in God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, obviously, you know, we recognize a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world here. And we're talking about, you know, a narcissistic society. You know, what is there anything that we can do to get it better?
Yeah, I think there's always something we can do to get it better. But I don't think we should. I think we need to take just that one step that we spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in your family who you don't talk to, mm-hmm. you're angry with. Break it.
Yeah.
Stop the nonsense.
Right.
Someday they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Go around being, you know, guilty for the rest of your life? Oh, I should have said this to them. I should have said that to them. You do the best you can today, every single day. You take that one step. If you want to change the world, I'll quote Mother Teresa, go home and love your family.
Yeah.
Don't hold any grudges. Apologize. I don't know anybody that doesn't need to be forgiven for something that they've done.
Yeah.
Well, it's time.
Right.
And you start with that. And, right. you know, you talk about the people that you have on I Choose that were suffering from, you know, all these different...
anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, addiction. The list goes on.
Yeah, the list goes on. You know, you have to forgive, you know. Right. Listen, if your kids are playing with Ouija boards, don't question why they have anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing tarot cards and reading their horoscope every day, if they pushed God out and brought the psychiatrists in and all the pills that come with it, don't be surprised if your children have total anxieties. Don't be surprised. Where do you think this is coming from? There's good and there's evil. There's a God and there's a devil. You can only choose one. You can't have them both. Oil and water. Choose good. And this is where we begin. This is where we start.
Yeah.
You know? And if you haven't gone to church in a long time, go. Don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I have people tell me all the time. And somebody tell me today. I wanted to share this with you. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I said, could you please explain to me what that means? Well, I don't like organized religion. I said, so you like disorganized religion?
Yeah.
Because that's what that equates to me, Mike.
Yeah.
No, you're not spiritual means that I don't follow the rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the rules were set down for a positive outcome.
Yeah.
Everybody has rules. So does the church.
Yep.
Well, you don't follow those rules.
Yeah.
You're screwed. You're screwed. They're there for a good reason. Look, we have 10 commandments. There should have been 100, but he only gave us 10.
Right.
You know, and if you miss the first one, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body. Love God first. Yeah. If you miss that one, the other nine don't really matter.
Yeah.
Because you already pushed God out. You know.
Right.
And so a lot of people are having anxieties because they don't believe in a good God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have faith. They don't have hope.
Mm-hmm.
They don't show up with the umbrella.
Right.
They're spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've had somebody say that to me one time too, and I just said, really, what spirits do you worship?
That was a good one.
That was my response, because I was like, oh, okay, you're spiritual. So which spirits are you hanging out with?
Yeah, it means I don't conform to the way it was set up, what was best for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it means. I don't conform.
People today don't want to be told what's best for them. Everyone thinks they know what's best for them, you know?
Listen, I had a young lady, I asked a young lady one time, I said, is your son baptized? She goes, no, I'm going to let him decide what religion he wants when he gets older. And I said, well, you're his mother. Aren't you supposed to teach him that?
Yeah. Wow. How'd that go?
Didn't go very well.
Yeah.
You know, but I said, well, you know, I don't want to say that she failed as a mother because she didn't fail as a mother.
Yeah.
But as far as that was concerned, she's a very good mother. But as far as that was concerned, she's a spiritualist.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're going to let you're not going to teach your own children?
Right.
You're going to let the world teach them?
Yeah.
Well, there you know, go. Because listen, what we got now is if you go to the library, there's drag queens there teaching your kids. That's what you want? That's, yeah. I don't get it. Yeah. Makes no sense. It's totally insane. No, you teach your children about God, the Ten Commandments, and your religion. Because if you don't, someone else will teach them something else.
Mm.
And if you're wondering why your kids are suffering from all these anxieties, I'm telling you the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
You take God out of the equation, you're going to suffer. Even you put God in the equation, you're still going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But something's different about it. Because at the end of all of that, we have hope.
Yeah.
We have a desire to do good. We have a desire to help one another.
Yep.
Love one another.
Yep.
Give. Give. You know, I remember Father Glenn one time said to a group of people, he said, don't give till it feels good. Give till it hurts.
Mm.
It's good giving, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the real deal. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, look, you're, I mean, obviously, you know, we share the same last name, you know, and I mean, I agree with you on, you know, everything, you know. Matt says, Sue says, suffer with purpose. Matt says, if your relationship with God is having conversations with him, but lacking prayer, is that enough?
Question. Not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're having conversations with God, that is a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, you need to know what your prayers are. They take you to another level.
Yeah.
You know, praying is very important. It's talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
From the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say your prayers from the heart.
Yep.
And so it's not only when you need something, it's also, well, thank you, Lord. This was a great day.
Yeah. And you know? Let's talk about that for a second. You know, I mean, I feel like gratitude is something that's like, it's lacking, you know, people are not, they're just not thankful for what they have, you know? And I think that gratitude is an important part of this equation as well. You know, as far as being a whole person, I think that having an understanding and being grateful for where you are right now, even if you're not happy, even if you're suffering, even if you have stuff going on, there's always people out there who have it worse, right?
I mean, people are not, listen, we live in a society where people are not satisfied. If you're narcissistic, you'll never be satisfied because yeah. You were made to go out to others.
Right.
You were made to give yourself to others and others to give to you.
Right. So, but gratitude, I mean, you know, for people out there, like, you know, I mean, I think that's an important part of the whole equation. I think waking up in the morning and saying thank you, one of the first thoughts of your mind is something that's important. It's an important habit to get into, like you brush your teeth.
Well, you and I have had some, you know, great experiences traveling to different places throughout the world, Mike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, because we have seen poverty, mm-hmm. we have a different outlook. Not everyone has had that. People should investigate. Like, if you think you're poor and you're living in the United States, you probably have a cell phone. Mm-hmm. You probably have shoes on.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know what it is to be poor in this country.
Right.
So it's very hard to it's very hard to kind of decipher that in your mind, I think, to be grateful. Mm-hmm. Without God.
Yeah.
Because all the goodness that we do really comes from God. That means you're plugged in. Mm-hmm. And so without that, how could you be grateful without a God?
Yeah.
I mean, none of us have done anything to deserve heaven. That's what the crucifixion was all about.
Right.
It's a gift. So we have to be thankful for the gift of our life every single day.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Listen, you know, without faith, I don't see how you can do anything. So I'm not the guy to ask that, to answer that question, maybe even properly for you.
Right.
Because I am fortunate enough that God has given me that grace to have faith. I see things through the eyes of faith.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be in charge of everything, Mike. I don't have to have the nicest car. I don't have to have anything.
Yep.
You know, so that I'm kind of grateful just because of that. It's because I have God.
Yeah.
But that's a gift, you know.
Yep.
That's a gift, but I have it because I pray every day and I pray the rosary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I think that, you know, this conversation is super, super valuable for everyone. And I'm really grateful that we did this, because you never know how this is going to go, you know?
And especially when you're live.
Yeah, you never know how it's going to go. So, you know, is there anything that you wanted to end with, Dad? Because, you know, I feel like you've given so much, not just to the St. Francis House and everyone else, but to us, to me, to you know, to our family, you know? And just for a minute, you know, I just want to share, like, selfishly, like, part of me having you on here tonight was that I wanted to share you with everyone else, because you bring so much value, you know, to me just every single day of my life, that I feel like, you know, that wisdom and everything that you have to offer, it needs to be shared, because it needs to be heard. People need to know that, you know, these things that you're talking about, the suffering, you know, the choices that we make in life, you know, faith, hope, love, gratitude, like, people need to know this. We need to understand this. And you know, I'm going to rip this up into a million different pieces before I put it on our podcast. And
you mean
blast
edit
out.
It? You mean edit it?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to edit it up, and I'm going to blast this out, you know, to people all over the place, because people need to hear this. Whether they want to or not, it's up to them. But there are people out there who are struggling and suffering. They need to understand there's meaning to that suffering, you know?
There is meaning to that, and there's meaning to life.
Yeah, they need to know there's a purpose for all this bullshit.
Yeah, there is a purpose. There's a purpose to suffering. You know, people are searching for meaning in their lives. I'm fortunate enough, Michael, where, you know, I have found it. But I don't want anyone to think for a second that I haven't suffered.
Yeah.
I suffer today, yeah. You know. But I keep going on because, again, I have that hope without sounding too redundant. Mm-hmm. I have that strength that God gives me. On my own, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it on my own. I would not want to be just inside of me and be spiritual. I just don't see how it's going to work. But after my career here, 30 years, I do see how it works. I'm not in charge. I'm listening. The guys have taught me everything through this house, through experiences. My life has meaning, and it's you. Mm. And it's the family. And it's the St. Francis House. It's what we did with Grassroots Films. I never did it just for me. But I also have to share with you honestly that I always felt, and I think everybody wants this, that their life is important, but your work is important. Mm. Everybody wants to feel that their work is important, you know? And so because my work is a work of God, it's important, not because it's a work of Joe. You can come down, Joe, if you want. I'm at the St. Francis House, folks. Somebody could walk by at any moment. I just hope they're dressed. Yeah, they're dressed. Okay.
Who's that? Oh, what's up, JJ? Good to see you, man.
I didn't mean to break the whole thing.
He doesn't want to say hello?
He's not getting on. There's no way. He doesn't want to. He can if he wants to, but he's not. He's not doing it.
Rafael Sanchez says, much of my strength I obtained while living there. It was kind of my first home, not house, a home.
Thank you, Rafael.
Yeah.
That was the goal, and we met our goal. Now, the gift is that he takes that into his own family.
Right. Right.